mass will get half the speed. And so now you're going to see that one car will go twice as slow as the other. That's the only way that nature can conserve momentum. Nature has no choice. Nature can deal with kinetic energy one way or another, but it cannot finagle momentum. So it must give the more massive car half the speed than it gives the other car. And so
all right, time for another DriveFysics.com, DebatePhysics.com video presentation. So, because Professor Lewin is the subject in some respects, and Brozo is attempting to duplicate an experiment presented by Professor Lewin, as a demonstration of a formula that really is irrational, where they take two solutions that have different answers, they have different numerical values, and they put an equal sign between the two formulas to create different numbers. And then they do derivatives of that, you know, where they cross stuff out and play their little games, and they come up with two new formulations and say these are a description of what reality is going to do. This reality is somehow going to do this wave-particle thing. It's going to do both. And no, it isn't. It's not going to do momentum and kinetic energy. Both can't be conserved. It's irrational. And so the whole argument is about just kind of a simple premise. So let's go to the simple premise first, I guess. And if you've watched these videos, you know what the simple premise is. I'm contending that there's absolutely no hope that it is part of physical reality that you can create free momentum, okay? That you can have a mass and velocity value, a weight, okay? Momentum is weight, okay? So P really could just be said equals your weight, okay? Your mass and your velocity. You have a mass right now and it's in gravity. And as much as it doesn't look like you're free falling, in a way you are. Little bits inside of you are falling down and the earth is pushing them back up. But you really do the falling down thing first. You have to push into the earth before the earth can push you back. So the net effect is a downward motion. That is never undone by the earth pushing you back, because as soon as it pushes you back, you're already heading down again. So it's always down, 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 down. And it's always down the same little amount, which is the first little amount. And that's why you have a weight. But you'd have no weight without gravity pushing you into the earth. And so it's just the same thing as me moving a weight sideways. I'll give it momentum in a direction, and then I can have a scale, and I can measure how much does it weigh. You know, how much does it move the little needle on the scale, you know, 100 pounds. And it's a certain velocity it has to have that weight. And so this is just elemental. So I'm just saying that something has momentum, a pendulum swinging, anything. It's energy, okay? You can't pretend momentum isn't a form or a type or a kind of energy. And if you have an experiment where you have a certain amount of momentum, say 10, and then you do an experiment, you put it into an experiment and you get, you know, 13 out going this way, that's free momentum, okay? Your little magical box or whatever it is you put the thing through, and you go from 10 to 13, but you don't put any fuel in. All right, and you get this free extra momentum going this way. Now you also have, you know, 3 going this way. So you get a little bargain, you know, but this is irrelevant. What's going this way isn't going to undo this energy. It's like saying if I shoot a bullet this way and I shoot a bullet that way from a gun that has 2 barrels, that somehow I didn't shoot anybody. The bullets didn't knock, they didn't break anything, they didn't hit anything, they didn't, you know, make any spark, they didn't do anything. Of course they did things. They did all kinds of work in the universe. So it's a silly premise, all right? And so what I've attempted to point out is that, yeah, well, Professor Lewin was just doing a demonstration, and he likes it to come out the way the formula says, but it's just a nonsense. The formula is nonsense, it's of no utility, it is not important. But it's just their physics, and they like to do it, but it doesn't happen. Because if it did happen, somebody would capitalize on it. Some clever person would figure out how to do this over and over again, okay? Do this special little box over and over again, just keep increasing the momentum. And the only tricky part is you have to convert the heavy thing you're going to end up with. You're going to end up with a heavy thing with a lot of momentum, okay, very high momentum, and you're going to need to convert it back into a light thing with the same momentum. And it seems reasonable that you can do that with such things as levers, but see, they don't believe levers actually convert momentum. But you could argue that, most physicists would argue that, yes, if you put a certain momentum into a spring, that's a weight. And they have a Hooke's law, and it tells you that basically you're going to get back what you put in, okay, in terms of pressure, weight. And so it makes every bit of sense that I can just push it into a spring and use a spring as a device to change what object has the momentum. You know, go from a heavy object to a light object going faster, and then I can bang the light object into heavier and heavier objects and keep making free momentum, and I can make a perpetual energy machine. Perpetual motion and perpetual energy. So free momentum is not a rational or reasonable concept, frankly. It's just not. I don't think anybody can explain how you could possibly make more momentum, all right, without creating an energy crisis in the universe, okay? That's a problem, all right? And they don't have any theory to defend this as a truth, or this is how it really works, or any of that. It's just crappy and nonsensical and silly, and I really shouldn't have to argue it, because I think you know that if we surveyed the average physics graduate and just asked them, oh, look, I have a machine that does this, they'll say, oh, you're a free energy nut. And so that's all Brozo comes down to now. He's just like all the other people that have silly, you know, you can go on the internet and find a ton of free energy videos where somebody says they've what's the word they use for above nothing, that they've made some device that has this free stuff tied to it, that they don't put it in, that somehow the device makes this extra free energy, above parity, I'll think of the word later. Yeah, I'll use it later. Doesn't really matter. All right. So, back to the Professor Lewin clip. So this is one little clip. And so here he has an accident. All right, I probably should draw this first and then show it to you, just so there's no misunderstandings, because yes, you people are really capable of misunderstanding. All right, so the experiment is just this very simple idea. You have one unit of mass, you have an object with two units of mass. You're going to take this object and just bang it into this object with some spring, some elastic device between them, and what you're going to end up with is, yes, unfortunately, 133, okay, instead of just, you start with 100 portion of energy, and you're going to end up with 30 going back this way. And their theory is that somehow this 30 cancels this 30 and you're still left with only 100, which doesn't make any sense. You know, it doesn't matter that there's stuff going this way, that's real energy. They can't cancel. Okay, bullet this way doesn't cancel bullet that way. That's a silly way of thinking. So anyway, so Professor Lewin does the experiment. He gets these wacky results. And I sort of pointed out that it's not possible. Okay, and so then I found, by looking and examining, why he was able to make this experiment turn out this way. Now, the trick is that he did the experiment later in the lecture, where he's making the two things stick to each other. Okay, so this is glue here, and they stick to each other, Velcro. Well, he does the experiment, and accidentally they don't stick, so they bang into each other in an elastic way. And what you end up with is, the one mass has 100, okay, and the two mass leaves, okay, with a lot less, okay, like 70. All right, and this one goes back with 30. So it perfectly matches what rationality would say, what they would understand 300 years ago would happen. Is that you'd end up apportioning the energy in some percentage going into the two mass, and some percentage would be in a reflection. Okay, some of it would bounce off. And that would be the product of the experiments. Now, the only difference is there's no spring here. So part of what people's theory has to be is that somehow springs, you compress them for free somehow and then push the object, and then the spring releases even more energy, which still isn't reasonable. It's not reasonable to believe that the spring has enough momentum in it that it's hitting the object, and it still doesn't, you can't make it make sense in any way, really. Can't happen. So anyway, so this, the funny irony is that when he does the experiment by accident, the results come out as I would predict, okay? But you have to add both directions of momentum, and that equals what went in. You can't subtract and pretend that the energy going backwards came from nowhere, and you can have extra momentum in the same direction. All right, so then we'll get to the, I'll show you the Professor Lewin results. You can see it on here. So it's 111, so the higher the number, the slower. So obviously half the speed would have been 222. So it's going a lot slower than half the speed, okay? Something like 70% of the momentum, by mass. And clearly, if he didn't grab this other card, it would have gone back with a certain amount of momentum, and you could say that was the residual 50 or so that was left over. So the little cart goes back with 50, and the other cart's, and it all adds up, no problem. All right, so now I'll go find the other clip of Professor Lewin, and we'll show the carts again, and I'll explain, now you can simply understand that, yes, the experiment was finagled. It was shenanigans. Now, I didn't accuse Brozo of overtly cheating. He's pretending I did. I made points about why he did the experiment badly. That he compresses the spring all the way to the maximum, which you probably shouldn't do. Next, he releases the carts by using his hands, which isn't a quick release and it isn't reliable. He's doing frame rates at a speed that is probably unnecessarily fast. So he's doing all the experiments with the carts moving much faster than they need to do the experiment, which means he's going to have a harder time counting the frames to ascertain the actual velocity. 4, he hasn't accounted for the angular momentum in the wheels. Because he has really big, heavy wheels, they are absorbing part of the linear motion this way is absorbed by rotating wheels. So any time, say if you had a rocket and you just shot it across the ground, you'll make it go slower if you put wheels on it and then let the wheels touch the ground and spin. Because now you've taken this motion and you've stored it in rotation. So any idiot can figure that out, that the rocket's definitely going slower if I put wheels on it. Now, if the wheels don't touch the ground, it goes just as fast, right? But if I let them touch a surface and rotate, then I'm storing energy in the rotation of the wheels, and so it definitely goes slower. So, yes, he has to make sure that both his carts have the same mass in angular rotation. So these are all real points. They're the real accusation of why your results are stupid, okay? Why you're proving a theory that's impossible. Why you've become a free energy nut, okay, in terms of what you're defending as physics. All that's not my fault. And again, you're just, again, lying that somehow I resorted to calling you a cheater when I didn't do that. What I've said is you're a slob, and you're sloppy, and you're reckless, and you're stupid. That's what I've accused you of being, is stupid, unthoughtful, you don't do any research, and you don't pay any attention to ever people making these arguments to you. People have tried to explain it to you, and you pay no attention. That's your bad, not my bad. Fucked hard. And you're also just showing that you have really poor dietary habits, and you're going to get what you deserve, frankly. If you haven't already got it. So now we'll go to the other Professor Lewin video. I'll erase the board and I'll go through this one more time. And only because he brought it up. He brought up cheating, and I'm just going to show how even MIT does it. So it's not an outrageous accusation to make that somebody's finagled or shenaniganed. I'd also argue that another one of your shenanigans is you only show the experiments that come out the way you want them to. And the ones that don't, we never get to see. And that's selecting evidence. That's cherry picking, they call that. That you cherry pick the evidence. It's a real thing that happens in the real world. All right, so here's an image that shows two carts of the same mass. Okay, so he's just doing the simple experiment where you just do one into one, and, you know, the one cart gives all of its motion to the other cart. And what you see here is, you know, you can see this strip. Well, I got to do it this way. This strip here of clay. And that's where this clay comes from. So this lump of clay is really just this strip of clay bunched up. And one would assume that there's one of these strips on both sides of the little cart, because the carts really do have to stay balanced, or, you know, it makes a mess of the experiment. It's not frictionless anymore if you're not kind of careful about that. So what else you can see is these weights here that attach to the carts, and then you see there's springs that attach to that. And then there's also a device on the back that goes through the card reader, you know, the timing gate. And those are the features. So the carts weigh the same except for these extra features you put on. And just to point out, so the origin of the clay can be understood that it's a strip of clay originally, and that strip has been bunched up for some reason or other. It doesn't really matter. The point is it exists on the cart. And what you don't see is in the real experiment, the one with the two carts in here, it's going to be clear that they can't be equal massed carts. I mean, the one can't be twice as heavy, because it doesn't have all the extra attachments necessary for it to be twice as heavy. And I'll demonstrate that. All right, you should be able to see that quite adequately. All right, so here's the two-mass cart and the one-mass cart. So a statement I'll make that I think Broza would agree with is when they sell these pieces of hardware, they always sell them in increments of mass increase. Like they sell, this one would weigh, say, 200 grams. The double-sized thing would weigh 200 grams. It's really just twice the length. It's the same piece of aluminum. It, with nothing attached to it and nothing attached to the other cart, it would be a 2-to-1 relationship or a 1-to-3 relationship. That's how they're manufactured. So you can sort of just go through this and understand that, well, what do we have here? Well, we have a weight and we have a one weight. Let's say there's one on the other side, okay? The two sides would be balanced, all right? And so this one has two weights. This one only has two weights, okay? So it's two weights behind. If it's going to weigh twice as much, it has to have twice as many of these attachments. Clearly, it only has two springs here, two springs here. It needs something to compensate for the two missing springs. Obviously, one card reader here, one card reader here. There needs to be something on the sled to make up for the absent extra card reader. And then the big one is clump of clay here, probably a strip of clay on the other side. So you've got two hunks of clay, no hunks of clay. So it's four hunks of clay lighter than it should be. So, I mean, you can just do the math, and I'm saying it's pretty clear this cart did not weigh, okay, one half as much as this other cart. It weighed perhaps significantly more, maybe 100 or more grams more than this cart, than half. And that's why he was able to create the illusion of extra momentum after the collision. Because he put more momentum into the collision. The velocity wasn't showing the real momentum, because the real momentum was in a higher massed object. And that's why the numbers came out the way they did. So if I make this cart heavier, okay, like 2/3 the weight of the first cart, I mean this, the two mass cart, then I can expect the difference in velocity, because I have a much higher momentum going in. So I can afford to make that extra 33%. All right. And so it just shows, what else do you call it? I mean, you can't say there's no shenanigans here. It seems pretty clear that if you put these things on scales, it's not going to come out the way he claims it is. There's good reason to be suspicious. I would say that is, at a minimum, you have to concede that there's good reason to be suspicious. And it's an extraordinary claim in the experiment. Again, free momentum is not a minor thing to be creating. And for anyone to say it doesn't make any difference, or, oh, it's obvious that free momentum doesn't matter. No, it's not at all obvious why it doesn't matter. It's exactly the opposite. The obvious conclusion is if you're making free momentum, you're making free energy. That's the obvious conclusion. That's the default conclusion. And if you're going to claim something else, you better have better evidence than blobs of clay on your carts. All right, so again, this is the experiment that Brozo's attempting to reclamate and say it's a valid experiment. I'll do it, and I'll make it come out right too. And that's the whole problem. That's his ambition, and he'll do the experiment a bunch of ways, and you'll just find a sloppy, stupid way to do it where the results come out the way he wants to write them. And, you know, again, the weirdness was that he had a pretty jagged line for his results, and you have to wonder, why was it more jagged? And why did you have extraordinarily strange readings, aberrant readings, when you had heavy masses rather than light masses? So we saw that there'd be lots of reasons to doubt the credibility of the lighter masses, because the weights were moving around in the cart, which means, oh yeah, that's all momentum. If you're moving the weights, that's momentum you have to use from the experiment. So you have to count that. You know, but there wasn't any evidence of the weights moving in the heavier carts. So why did you get the more aberrant results with the heavier carts when it seemed obvious the lighter carts are the ones where they got to be further off, because there's all kinds of extra movement? Anyway, but I have made no accusation that he deliberately cheated. I've made the accusation he's an idiot and an asshole and a moron, and he can't do anything right, including physics experiments. All right. Yeah, so that's enough. Just thought I'd play it again just to show why if somebody wants to say there's some good reason for this really bad appearance, okay, they'd really have to push the truth.
You ready? Yep. Yeah. There we go.
Right, so this 186 number should be half as slow, at best, half. And here it is, so it should be 126, I mean 246, and it's 186. So it's 60 off, and that's a huge off. Now this, you know, who cares, 375, that's pretty slow coming back. But the point is it comes out the way he wants the numbers to come out, to fill in the blanks in his formula, and it really doesn't have anything to do with the real physics. Doing real physics. The very fact that he can catch up with this other cart before it hits the other side. So he take one cart off, and he's going to move over there to get the other cart. So yeah, it's got to be going pretty slow for him to do all that. But anyway. All right, so that's enough of a video. Yeah, maybe that covers it. So back to Professor Lewin, on Professor Lewin. So obviously at this point, he's not going to be saying you can finagle kinetic energy, but you can't finagle momentum, because he thinks, nature can finagle it. You just make something go that way and you're going to undo what goes that way. That's really bad theory. In my opinion, it's obviously bad theory. If you think that's possible, you think you can undo a bullet going that way by shooting one the opposite way, you think you can make the universe colder by, you know, you shot hotness this way, and all you have to do is shoot some hotness the opposite way and you made the universe cold again. I don't think that's reasonable. Nah, that's enough.
The mass will get half the speed. And so now you're going to see that one car will go twice as slow as the other. That's the only way that nature can conserve momentum. Nature has no choice. Nature can deal with kinetic energy one way or another, but it cannot finagle momentum. So it must give the more massive car half the speed than it gives the other car. And so we're
all right, so this has been draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com. But they're all liars. You know, so it's just always undoing their lies, you know. So they're always cheating the truth. That's what they're always cheating, the real story, cheating the facts, cheating what was really said, cheating.